Genesis chapter 31, you already there? Okay, so Genesis chapter 31, if you look at, and I'm getting there, if you look at verse 3, the Jacob is discussing some things, because the Bible says, "And the Lord said unto Jacob, return unto the land of thy fathers and to thy kindred, and I will be with thee." So God is speaking to Jacob, and if you notice, he is speaking to him in another place. Well, the place he's at is at Laban's house. This is where Jacob has gone, and he's met Rachel and Leah. You remember Rachel? He's seen her, man, she's so fine. I'll work 7 years for her. He worked 7 years for her, and he got Leah. The Bible says she was weak-eyed. You work that out the way you want to. So he worked 7 years for Rachel, ended up with Leah, so he worked 7 years more. And so here's 14 years at least he has spent with Laban. Now, if you remember, Jacob left home in a hurry. You know, there are some times where we have to get out of situations quick, fast, and in a hurry. Jacob was in one of those because, you know, some people say he stole the birthright. No, Esau sold the birthright. So let's not get it twisted. The real problem was not the birthright. Esau sold that. If you read the text, the real problem was the blessing. Because him and his mama got together and went in, and Isaac, his eyes were dim at the time, and Isaac, feeling on Jacob, thought it was Esau, and pronounced the blessing on him, thinking it was Esau. So Jacob leaves with Esau's, or what Esau perceived to have been, the blessing he should have had. And Isaac actually goes on and dies. And after Isaac dies, Jacob has to leave because Esau has in his mind, soon as we finish mourning for my dad, I'm going to kill him. So his mama said, you know, you got to go. So she says, go, in essence, go back to the land where she came from, because Laban is her brother. So he leaves with he leaves to go back to where Rebecca, Laban's sister, came from. I want you, so when we read this from here, you'll know where you're at. That's all. Now, Genesis 31, this is the discussion God is having with him in verse 3. The Lord said unto Jacob, return unto the land of thy fathers and to thy kindred, and I will be with thee. So he says, you can go back now. Verse 4, Jacob sent and called Rachel and Leah to the field unto his flock. He said unto them, I see your father's countenance that is not toward me as before, but the God of my father hath been with me. So Jacob says, you know what? I've been watching Laban, and he ain't treating me like he used to. Some of you all don't understand. Okay, notice this. God allowed Jacob to see himself being treated differently. And he also told him it's time to go. Some of us, when God says it's time to go, you don't want you, well, maybe that ain't God. So he'll let you see you being treated differently. Yes. To know it's really time to go. Verse 6. And ye know that with all my power I've served your father. I did everything I was supposed to do when I was with your dad. Now look at this. And your father hath deceived me and changed my wages 10 times. That wasn't 10 raises. You think you got it bad. How about when your employer tried to take stuff from you? Amen. So he literally was trying, he changed his wages 10 times. But look at this. But God suffered him not to hurt me. Even in the 10 times he changed his wages, it still didn't harm him because God didn't allow it. I'm trying to share some things with you. See, this is the kind of stuff that I look at and I said, okay, now no matter what my job may want to do to me, The God I serve can still fix it. So I don't care. We need to take 10% of your pay because what the God I serve can still fix this. Amen. See, people don't want to say, I got faith that God. You know, why don't you have faith that in the midst of losing something, he can still keep you? Amen. Why would I ever have that kind of faith? Yes. It's always the faith that we won't lose it. Jacob went through that. But that ain't all in my text, though. Drop down with me to verse 14. So now, basically, if you catch this, what Jacob says, you know what? Let me go get both my wives. Now, this is back in the Old Testament, so he had two wives. That was then, not now. So he got both his wives to talk it over with him. Husbands, talk stuff over with your wife. Wait a minute. All right, I'm going to get to the rest of my text. It seems like there was a problem here. Let me share something with you. Jacob, this is an awesome principle. Jacob hears a word from God. I need you to go back to where you were before. Notice he didn't just get up and go. He goes to his two wives and discusses this with them. Why? Because what God has called me to do now affects you. Husbands, please talk stuff over with your wife. If you do not, you are not complying with the will of God. Sisters, I did say it. Seemed like y'all would have gave me a few more amens. I did say it. So Rachel and Leah, verse 14, Rachel and Leah answered and said unto him, is there yet any portion or inheritance for us in our father's house? They said, you know what? That's fine. He ain't left us nothing anyway. Verse 15, are we not counted of him strangers? For he hath sold us and hath quite devoured also our money. She said, after he sold us, he wasted all of the money that you gave him. So we ain't got nothing. So verse 16, for all the riches which God hath taken from our father, that is ours and our children's, now then, whatsoever God hath said unto thee, do. Sisters, you knew I was coming. You have to understand something. As a husband, if God speaks to the husband and shares something with him to do, you have to understand he is sharing with you what he knows. There is no other part to it. Women, you all have the desire to know everything. If you look, God said to Jacob, go back home to where I told you to go. Now, he didn't say how you were going to travel. He didn't say what time it was going to be. He didn't say who going to carry all of the babies. Well, which how we going to break it down. It wasn't all of that. But sisters, you like to know all of that. You like to know all of that, and we don't even know all of that. So, if the man come to you to discuss it, he is giving you what he know. But God don't ever give you everything. See, that, and you know what? And it's really what she said is good. Because most people, that's what you think. You trying to help, but you really not. Because when God, watch this. When God speak to you, do you know everything? So it ain't no different when he speak to us. But what he does require, now see, this is the part we can't miss. What he does require is the faith to move on it. Not the knowledge of all of it, but the faith to move on it. See, we get it twisted because we want the knowledge. And then when you get the now, I feel better now. So now you're moving because of how you feel. not by faith. So I'm just saying this, the coming together is to give you the information that I know. Listen, I believe, honey, this is what the Lord said. I just want to bring it to you and submit it. They said, they basically looked at their circumstances. You know, we ain't got nothing here anyway. I'm with you. Whatever you want to do. I mean, look at that. Come on now. That's wonderful. Yes. Them women had it going on. Amen. They simply said, we with you. Our kids, whatever we need to do. Well, I know it, folks. Dr. Hall, I'm not getting a whole lot of amen from the female side today. This ain't even my text. This was just a warm-up, Minister Plummer. I'm just trying to show where we're coming from. That's all right. I'm ready. Genesis chapter 32. I just want us to see where we was coming from. That's all. My title or my text or my subject, if you will, for today is moving forward with a limp. Moving forward with a limp. Moving forward with a limp. Genesis chapter 32, verse 1. The Bible says, Jacob went on his way and the angels of God met him. And when Jacob saw them, he said, this is God's host. And he called the name of the place Mahanaim. You have to understand that Jacob now is leaving a troubling situation. You know, Laban has, you know, changed his wages 10 different times. So he's leaving a troubling situation because remember the countenance of Laban had changed toward him. He wasn't in favor with him as he was in the beginning. So it was a very troubling situation, but he's going toward a possible life-threatening situation. Amen. What do you mean? Remember, he was running. The reason he came to Laban in the first place is because his brother wanted to kill him. Yes. So now you're telling me to go back to where I was once being threatened for my life. So I'm leaving a troubling situation to go back to a life-threatening situation, and I'm doing it because God said so. Yes. Are we all on the same page now? Yes. So in the midst of this, he sees the angels of the Lord, and he says, this is the Lord's host. And he names the place Mahanaim. So now what has happened is, he says, it's a double camp. Now, I know you say, well, what do you mean, Pastor, double camp? He recognizes the camp that he is in physically. It's his camp. That's where he's getting ready to move. That's his base of operation. He's moving from. He's camped there. They're in the process of their transition. He's camped out there. But now these angels or this angel shows up. These angels show up, and it is indicative that there is another camp. There's a spiritual camp that he couldn't see. When you begin to act on what God called you to do, there are forces on your behalf that you don't see. So he names it the double camp. Well, come on, this ain't new to you because you know Psalms 34 and 7, that the angel of the Lord encampeth around about them that fear him delivereth them. So that's not new. Look at verse 3. Jacob sent messages before him to Esau, his brother, unto the land of Seir, the country of Edom. And he commanded them, saying, thus shall ye speak unto my lord Esau. Thy servant Jacob saith thus, I have sojourned with Laban and stayed there until now. I have oxen and asses, flocks and men servants and women servants. And I have sent to tell my lord that I may find grace in thy sight. So he was trying to see if his brother would accept him after all this time. Amen. You know, sometimes we display our things just to find acceptance with other people. Yes. Say, I've got men's service, I've got women's service. Look at all the stuff I've got. Maybe, you know, you'll accept me now. You know, look, I'm a little better off now. I can give you some things. Maybe you will accept me. Because when we sometimes connect or get with people, we show them our stuff. Because hopefully you'll see my stuff and accept me. That's all right. This one, trust me, this one is going to land home. Just a moment. Not a problem. Verse 6. And the messengers returned to Jacob saying, we came to thy brother Esau. And also he cometh to meet thee. And 400 men with him. So the messengers return with news, but it gives Jacob mixed signals. It's 400 men. And you defenseless with women and children. But your brother is coming with 400 men. Verse 7. The Bible says, then Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed. And he divided the people that was with him and the flocks and the herds and the camels into two bands. God knows how to split up your stuff, don't he? And said, if Esau come to the one company and smite it, then the other company which is left shall escape. Have you ever noticed how we develop strategies just in case God doesn't come through? I figure we find you after a while. Notice God told him to go back to the land and he would be with him and it'll be well with him. But now all of a sudden Jacob gets some news from the messengers that he sent. The 400 men are coming. So now Jacob says, I need to employ a strategy here. I'm going to split up all my stuff that I was willing to show off before. I'm going to split it up so that if he smite the one company, at least the other one will be able to escape. It's my plan B, you know, in case God don't come through. You know how we get afraid. We believe in God until we get some news. I'm talking about moving forward with the limp. I'm gonna get with the limp. You remember? Let me just do limp for a minute, so you can understand what I'm saying. I was thinking about like for instance, when I was growing up as a young boy, some of the older people used to say, "Where were you at when President Kennedy was shot?" They can all remember where they were at, what they were doing at the time President Kennedy was shot. And then others moved on. It was in 1968 when Dr. King was assassinated. You know, it became the thing, where were you at? Those were life impacts. Those were life impact moments. So where were you at during those life impact moments? My generation, it became September 11th. You know, in 9/11, where were you at? I could tell you where I was at, what I was doing right now on September 11th. I remember on September 11th, my wife had called me and she said, honey, I was at work. 9 o'clock that morning, I was at work, you know. She called me, she said, some planes flew into a building. I said, honey, can't no planes fly in no building. I mean, you know, it's unheard of. Planes don't fly in the buildings. Nobody make that kind of mistake. I knew exactly where I was at and what I was doing. I could see myself still now standing in that little corridor with the rest of my employees, and we all looking like, what? What did it mean? Flew into a building. What's going on? It was a life impact moment. Yes. But you know what? It was a life impact moment, but it wasn't made personal. See, it wasn't made personal unless, now, Tasha not here today. But Tasha worked at the Pentagon. Mm-hmm. Amen. For the rest of us, it was a life impact, but for Tasha, it was made personal. Mm-hmm. Because if she'd have went to work that day, I'm just saying. For those individuals, if you read the stories of people from September 11th, it is crazy why some people didn't make it to the Twin Towers. Yes, it's true. It's people that was late for the first time in their life that day. And them being late, now they still here. It was, watch this. It was a life impact made personal. It was a limp. I'll be back. Verse 9. And Jacob said, O God of my father Abraham, and God of my father Isaac, the Lord which saith unto me, return unto thy country and to thy kindred, and I will deal well with thee. I am not worthy of the least of all thy mercies and of all the truth which thou hast showed unto thy servant. For with my staff I passed over this Jordan, and now I am become two bands. Deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, lest he will come and smite me and the mother with the children. So Jacob says, I came over and all I had was my staff. And now I got all of this stuff. God had blessed him, but there was still something he feared. God will bring us to the point where we confess what we fear. He says, I fear my brother. Oh yeah, I'm blessed. I got all of this stuff. I got it going on. God is indeed blessing me. Have you found yourself in a place where God has blessed you, but there's something you're still afraid of? Yes. Oh, there's something you're afraid of. People are looking at your life now like, wow. Because you started off with nothing. They're looking at you and they're seeing how blessed and how prosperous you look, but there's something you're afraid of. God will bring us to the point where we confess what we fear. Verse 12, and thou sayest, God, this is what you said. I will surely do thee good and make thy seed as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude. After praying, he doesn't hear anything from God. Isn't that amazing? I mean, did he pray the right words? Did he say the right thing? I mean, he rehearsed what God had said to him, but he don't hear nothing. Unbeknownst to Jacob, God had already dealt with Esau's heart. Let me say something to you. If God doesn't say anything, maybe it's because there isn't anything else to say. Because I want you to think about something. God told him to go back. God had already took care of his brother. Already dealt with that. The only thing was, ladies, Jacob didn't know that. Because God didn't tell him everything to know. Amen. When we pray and we're talking to God, oftentimes we're talking to God about stuff that we just don't know. And you wonder why God ain't said nothing else about it. Because he already dealt with it. I just need you to do what you're supposed to do. He had already dealt with Esau's heart. But mind you, Jacob is in another country en route back and don't know that God has already dealt with him. He just knows what God said do. I'm talking about moving forward with a limp. A life impact made personal. Verse 13. The Bible says, and he lodged there that same night, took of that which came to his hand a present for Esau his brother, 200 she-goats, 20 he-goats, 200 ewes, 20 rams, 30 milch camels with their colts, 40 kine, 10 bulls, 20 she-asses, and 10 foals. He delivered them into the hand of his servants, every drove by themselves, and said unto his servants, pass over before me and put a space between, betwixt drove and drove, commanded the foremost, saying, when Esau my brother meeteth thee. I mean, I'm sorry, just for a moment. I'm just thinking, do you understand what he's doing here? He's taking a portion of what he has and sending it like a caravan. And he's put some space between the first group and the second group. Now, but look at this. I want you to see what he says here. This is funny. And he commanded the foremost, saying, when Esau, my brother, meeteth thee and asketh thee, saying, whose art thou and whither goest thou and whose are these before thee? Then thou shalt say, they be thy servant Jacob's. It is a present sent unto my lord Esau. So, okay, if he kill y'all, then I know things are bad. So he's sending, that's literally the way he's sending his servants. Now, they don't necessarily know that, but I'm saying this is what he's doing. You know, because after all, we figure out, you know, what can we afford to lose if God don't come through? I got to figure out a way I don't lose everything. So what can I afford to lose? Well, I mean, I don't want to lose everything. So I just send, this is my sacrifice in case, you know, things really break out and get bad. Just, you know, don't be so hard on Brother Jacob here. Some of us got a limp. And so commanded he the second and the third and all that followed the drove, saying, on this manner shall ye speak unto Esau when ye find him. And say ye moreover, behold, thy servant Jacob is behind us. He ain't in front of us, he behind us. He waiting to see what happened to all of us. For he said, I will appease him with the present that goeth before me, and afterward I will see his face. Peradventure he will accept of me. So went the present over before him, and himself lodged that night in the company. So he prepares and sends this peace offering strategically to his brother to appease him. Strategic. Look at verse 22. We're doing good. And he rose up that night, took his two wives and his two women, servants, and his 11 sons, and passed over the ford Jabbok. And he took them and sent them over the brook and sent over that he had. So let's understand what's going on. It would seem that Jacob is restless and cannot sleep that night. Why are you taking your wives, their servants, over the brook at night? I mean, it is affecting him. He has not heard from God. Lord, I prayed. I don't hear nothing. Well, I got to figure out my plan B here, so I'm going to just send people to appease him, see what happened with that. Things ain't working. I thought I was going to hear something from God by now. Thought he would lead me. He would give me, watch this. Let's do the saints today. Thought he'd give me a sign. I was waiting on a sign from God. Now I can't even sleep. Watch this. Couldn't get a dream. I want you to understand our brother Jacob here. So now, he was doing what God said, but he was fearing the potential consequences. Okay, Lord, I'm going to obey you, Lord. But now, God, you know, I can't handle it. With these 400 men, when they show up, I ain't go, what am I going to do then, Lord? He's fearing the consequences. He's moving forward, but he's fearing the consequences. You know how we do. We there's a point where you can do what God says up until it becomes risky. So see, he can move all the way until Esau show up. Because when Esau show up, it's too late to turn around. Too late to try to run then. I got a point that I can get to before it becomes too risky. Y'all still with me? Moving forward, but he was dreading the confrontation. Look at verse 24. And Jacob was left alone. You know, God knows how to get each one of us alone with him. Amen. Bible says he was left alone. Now, they on that side of the brook over there. Your whole family. Nobody left here but you. You couldn't sleep all night. The Bible says he was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. So he's engaged in a struggle with an angel until dawn. He's engaged in a struggle with an angel to dawn. Let me see. In Genesis chapter 31, we see a Jacob who has Let me take you back a little further. Maybe you can understand this context here, because I know you've probably read Genesis chapter 32, verse 24 numerous times and seen him left alone and in a struggle wrestling with God. And you've heard people preach this and so on and so forth. So maybe we can go back a little bit. When Jacob is born, Jacob is a twin. Jacob and Esau are twins. The Bible says that their mother had two nations in her womb. And when Esau comes out first, and Jacob reaches out and grabs his heel. This is how Jacob gets his name. He is the trickster, the supplanter, because he grabbed the heel of his brother. So Jacob comes in the world tricking folks, supplanting, getting over. So from the time, so now you fast forward, he gets the birthright by cooking. What? Sell me your birthright then for this meal. He learns how to connive and get what he wants. He gets with his mama and he works out getting not just the birthright, but the blessing now. Lo and behold, he has to get on the run and he goes to meet Laban. He finally meets somebody who is more of a trickster than he is. Laban said, oh, you like her? Oh, man, she yours. Give me 7 years. Oh, well, I'm sorry. After 7 years, it's our custom here not to let you take one that's not the firstborn. So you need to work 7 more years if you want her. So he starts out getting tricked by somebody else who is better at the game than he is. So he spends all of these years with Laban being tricked and manipulated and maneuvered and all of this. But God shows him a grace that he doesn't go under. But Jacob is still used to tricking and supplanting and getting over on folk. So lo and behold, he's now left alone. There's nobody else there but him and an angel. And he's wrestling or struggling with an angel until dawn. So you can't manipulate and get over no more. Your struggle is now, watch this, not a physical one, but a spiritual one. I want you to see the context here. I want you to see what's going on. The Bible says, and when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. Now, I want to share something with you. When he saw that he prevailed not against him. Now, I want you to know this is not that Jacob was so wonderful. This is a grace that God gave Jacob because Jacob is already afraid of Esau. So now he is wrestling with an angel, and the angel sees that he's not prevailed over him. In other words, Jacob hasn't given up. Let me help you. The Bible says he touched the hollow of his thigh. Pain is not a reason to let go. Pain is not a reason to let go. Sometimes the pain of the things that we're going through in life, the pain of the struggles that we're dealing with, we think it's time to check out simply because it's pain. I'm not comfortable anymore. I don't like the way this feels anymore. It's hurting right now. Because of the hurt, oh, well, I'm done. See, there's some people that need to be here right now, but they're not here. They're not here. Because, see, watch this. The pain is enough to make them let go. Watch this. So when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. Now, if you realize this, where the angel touched him, weakened him. You can't wrestle with a bad thigh. You can't, because most of your power is coming from your hip. And he touched him in a specific area to weaken him. Verse 26. And he said, being Jacob, let me go for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. And he said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. Sometimes you got to want something from God so bad that you're willing to hold on until the day breaks. Understand this. Jacob is still holding on after being weakened. He has simply refused to let go of this angel until he gets what he wants. I don't pray. God ain't said nothing. I don't send everybody else off. I'm by myself, and now I got this struggle going on. I am not letting go until God do something for me. Amen. And on top of that, now my hip is messed up. Now my hip is all out of joint. Look at this. And he said, verse 28, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince thou hast power with God and with men, and has prevailed. Now, I know we read this and we see he go from Jacob to Israel. Did you understand that he went from being a trickster and a supplanter to becoming a prince? That's what God really said to him. Your name, your old name is gone. Wait a minute. Your old character is gone. I just wiped all of that away. You ain't got to trick people no more. You ain't got to grab no more heels. It ain't all about that no more. It ain't all about you always trying to get over because you feel inadequate. It ain't about you always feeling like you coming in second. Now you are a prince with God. I made you something you weren't before because you held on. He's no longer weak, but now has power with God and man. You ain't got to fear what Esau going to do to you. You got power with God and with man. Watch this, verse 29. And Jacob asked him and said, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name? And he blessed him there. And he blessed him there. So Jacob went from being Jacob to becoming Israel with a limp. The limp became a life impact made personal. Because now every time, watch this, Israel walked, he remembered the life impact. And he remembered it's personal for me. You may look and I'm leaning on my staff, but I remember what happened. And I remember what God told me. And what he told me was, my name ain't Jacob no more. My name is Israel. I got power with God and with man. You may just see the limp because you know you looking at me in the physical. But I remember I had a wrestling match one night. I had a wrestling match. Wasn't nobody there but me. Esau didn't show up. Wasn't nobody there. My family was gone. And in that wrestling match, I heard something. I heard a new name. That new name, it changed my nature. That new name, it changed who I used to be. That new name, it changed who I'm going to become from now on. That new name said, you know what? I got power with God and I got power with man. That new name now allowed me to, I know you see the limp. I know and you wonder, you weak because of that limp. No, I'm really strong because of that limp. I'm really not moving forward because of that limp. That limp is really why I got power now. That limp reminds me that my name was changed. It reminds me that I'm not who I used to be. See, if we would allow the limps that God is putting in our life to remind us that we had a life impact that was made personal. This wasn't just an impact. It was an impact made personal. See, God has showed, watch this. Jesus walked the earth. He would heal people. He would touch people. He would deliver people. He would do all kind of stuff. But some people never made it personal. It was just God in the earth doing things. If you allow the life impact that God is doing to become personal, it will give you a limp. And the limp is what will give you power to overcome the obstacles. It's because of the limp that you can move forward. It's not what's hindering you. It's what's literally propelling you. Because now Jacob was weak in his thigh, but he was strong in God. He was able to move from being Jacob to Israel because of a limp. Most of us think that these things are simply weaknesses, things that we can't overcome, we can't deal with. But it was in a time where Jacob found himself as Jacob becoming Israel because of a limp. You can still move forward with a limp. Don't feel like, well, I'm not qualified. I'm not good enough. I'm not going to be able to make it. What? Why? Simply because you got a limp? Really? The limp is what qualifies you. Because now every time they would look and they say, aren't you Jacob? No, I'm Israel. See this limp? No. This limp right here reminds me I'm not who I used to be. Let me ask you something. What reminds you that you're not who you used to be? Amen. That's your limp. Amen. Whatever it is that reminds you that you're not who you used to be, that's your limp. That's your limp. And I guarantee that you got whatever it is that reminds you that you're not who you used to be, you got it in a weak moment. You got it in a weak moment. Because God wanted you to know you can't lean on or depend in your own strength. So he gave you a limp. Changed your name, but he gave you a limp. Just to remind you that you're not who you used to be. Amen. I'm finished. I believe God is moving us forward with limps, life impacts that he wants to make personal in our lives. Don't listen. I know some of us are going through some things and it seems like the struggle is real. It's happening in my life. Things are falling apart. Look like this is happening. That's happening. Just hold on. Just hold on. You know, some of you all are so close. You're so close. The breaking of dawn is about to happen. The day is about to break. You just got to hang on a little bit more. Just a little bit more. Don't sit up here and think about all that you've been through. Think about what you're about to go to. I ain't sitting up here thinking about how far I have been. No. You know how close I am to achieving what God said I could have? So what, you've been through some things. So what, that was all part of your limp. So now wherever you go, it's going to be enough to remind you that this ain't your own strength that you're operating in from now on. It's not about you no more. This is a God thing. After this, Jacob is able to get up and go say, Esau, hey, here I am. And God had completely worked that whole situation out. But in the midst of it, Jacob had to get a limp to become Israel. And now watch this. Every one of us in this room, when the news come on and they talk about what's going on in the Gaza Strip, what country do they mention? Israel. Watch this. Not Jacob. Because, watch this. The 12 tribes, they came out of Israel. Because of what God did. I know Jacob left with his 11 sons, but he changed him. And they came to know Israel. And now today, here we are, 2018, and we call the nation Israel. It was a life impact made personal. Moving forward with the limp, you all. Every head bowed, eyes closed, just for a moment. Holy Spirit, I pray, Lord, that anything that would cause us to be blinded to what you want to do in our lives, or anything that's operating to hinder us from who you've destined us to be, God, let it be removed now through your word. God, give us clarity of understanding your will and purpose for our life. God, that we're not blinded, that we're not deceived. But I understand now even the tactic or the strategy that the enemy is using, even the more so when it comes to deception. God, to deceive us into not recognizing who we are, to deceive us into not recognizing that having a limp is not a bad thing, that we need to have a limp to remind us that the life impact that you've done has been made personal for us. God, we didn't just see it or hear about it. We experienced it with you. Because of that, it is personal. It's a memorial that we're able to carry with us. God, to reflect back on who you are in our lives. Some of us recognize that you're the Lord that healeth us because we had a life impact made personal when you healed us. Some of us are looking and we know that you are our provider because, Lord, there's a time where you had an opportunity to impact our lives personally by providing for us. And we've not forgotten it. It may be our limp today, Lord, but it's not a weak place. It's a strong place because you touched us there. Father, I pray for everyone that's under the sound of my voice today that we would recognize that we can move forward with our limps, that we're not afraid of things that have happened. God, yes, there may have been some things that we were discouraged by, that we may have been even ashamed of, because Jacob didn't like who he was, but he couldn't help being who he was all of that time until you changed his name. Lord, each and every one of us that have a relationship with you, we are indeed new creatures. God, you've changed who we were into who we now are, and we're becoming Christ-like. I pray, Father, that in this journey, we would not get lost in the ground of accomplishment and forget the progress that we have made. Sometimes we're so focused on accomplishing things that we forget, God, you've made tremendous progress in our lives. Lord, this is our limp. May our limps glorify you. In Jesus' name, amen. Glory. Listen, I want to make two appeals. First off, I want to speak to each and every one of us in this regard. Let's look at our lives in light of the scriptures, not what people are basing our lives upon. Because, you know, it's not how much money we're making, where we're living, what we're driving, what we're wearing, all of those things. Please don't do that. You'll find out those things, they don't add up to what you thought. Amen. But who are you in Christ? Who's the new creature you've become? That's the value that you have. That's the true value. Yeah, everybody may not discern that. But because somebody don't know how precious something is, doesn't mean it's not valuable. They just don't know the value themselves. So don't you discount yourself to people. You're somebody because of who you belong to. Secondly, I want to admonish, listen, if there's anyone here today and you said, listen, I see myself and my relationship with Christ is not where it should be. I see how I've allowed my struggle to move me out instead of moving me in. I see how it has pushed me from where I should be to places that I don't like, that I know it's not pleasing in God's sight. And I'm willing to come back today and literally hold on until God does what he wants to do in my life. I want to rededicate my life to the Lord. Yes, I started off with him, but I strayed away. Or maybe you realize, listen, I need a relationship with Jesus Christ, and I have not had one really. I was able to fake it. I was able to do this and talk the right thing and say the right thing to the right people, but I didn't really have a relationship. Or maybe you realize, listen, I need a church home. I need a place where I can have a spiritual covering, where I can learn the things of God and grow in the grace of God. If either of those three pertain to you and you recognize, listen, I need to be saved, maybe that's you. Or you say, listen, I need to rededicate my life, maybe that's you. Or maybe you recognize, I simply need a spiritual covering where I know I am a member of a local church where I'm growing as God has so planted me. If either of those three pertain to you, I'm going to ask now, while every head is bowed and eyes are closed, that you will simply make a decision today. That you will make a decision on behalf of your soul. One of the most important decisions you can ever make. One is your salvation. Two, if you're in a situation where you need to rededicate, come back. Thirdly, a place to be planted, a place where you can grow in the things of God. If either of those pertain to you, today I'm going to ask you simply to get up out of your seat and to meet me here at this altar. If you'll just simply come, that's me, preacher. I want to be saved. Okay. Or I want to rededicate my life. Okay. Or I want to be a part of this local church. If either of those pertain to you, at this time, remember we talked about not delaying when you hear God speaking. I'm not going to waste a lot of time with this. If that's you and you sense the Lord dealing with your heart on either of those three, I open this time as an opportunity for you to come and respond to what God is ministering to your heart now. Is there anyone? Glory. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's put our hands together and bless the Lord. Hallelujah. God, we give you honor and we give you glory. God, I thank you.